So just think about that person that you knew, that knew Christ, and that transition from this life into glory. And let me ask this question. Do you think that they realize right now what they did when they were alive mattered in eternity? And that's true. They know the reality of that.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 1.
Okay, so I want to start by saying this. What we do while we are here matters in eternity. What we are doing while we are here matters in eternity. And, you know, we might think that, well, you know, I'm just concerned, and I said this before, right? I'm just concerned about how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm just concerned about how I'm going to make it from day to day. You know, I don't have time to be thinking about that pie in the sky stuff, Pastor Glaze, that you're talking about. But let me ask this question. How many of us, and I know all of us can raise our hands, how many of us have lost a loved one that knew Christ? How many of us, it may be your mother, your father, maybe a sibling, a child. You know, one person that always comes readily to my mind is my mom. So just think about that person that you knew, that knew Christ, and that transition from this life into glory. And let me ask this question. Do you think that they realize right now what they did when they were alive mattered in eternity? And that's true. They know the reality of that. Yeah, when we go to heaven, we're going to be in the presence of God, the Father, Jesus Christ. We're going to see the glories of heaven, the golden streets and pearly gates and all that. But this lesson that we're talking about, and we'll probably be on this lesson for the next 2 weeks, this lesson talks about that, and we all heard this, your rewards will follow you. Your rewards will follow you. Or let me put it in the way that the slaves used to say it. I'm sending up timber for my mansion, right? So people come to the realization that when you leave this life, what you did while you were here matters in eternity. Now that doesn't lessen heaven any little bit. You know, that doesn't take away how we're going to appreciate heaven. It doesn't take away our enjoyment of heaven, but it just lets us know that the significance of what the things that we do down here. All right. So we're talking about the believer's rewards, or another name for it is the judgment seat of Christ. And we have two passages of scripture listed there. And let me take the opportunity to read those two passages of scripture. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a second. But you see, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So you, in the end, you're either going to stand before one or two thrones. You're going to stand before the throne of Christ, the Bema seat, or are you going to stand before the great white throne? Now, I don't want to stand before the great white throne, because the great white throne is for those that don't know Christ. This is the judgment I want to be at right here. I want to be at this one right here, the judgment seat of Christ, because it says that he will render unto all of us, you know, and we shall give an account of what we have done on this earth. Now, you know, in your notes is a chart that I put together, powerful chart. I can't wait to get to it. A powerful chart, and it relates right to what we're saying now. All right. And then the second passage of scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So again, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, where does this concept come from? It goes back to the Olympic Games of Paul's day. Now, this is a rough draft right here. I was trying to find, I had a picture of this right here, and I was trying to find that picture, but I couldn't find it. So, you know, I have this black and white sketch that I had somebody draw for me. But as you can see right here, you see the judge is sitting on top of this platform, right? Sitting down on the throne or on a chair or seat, whatever you want to call it. And then there is kind of an official that oversees the games. And then below are the participants. And whenever they ran a race or they competed an event, after they were done, they would come and receive their reward. And this was what was known as the Bema. All right, let me go on to the next thing. This seat right here was known as the Bema. The Greek word for judgment seat is Bema, B-E-M-A. I know for you young people out there, I didn't say Beamer, BMW. No, I said a Bema, the Bema seat. The Bema was an elevated seat where the judge of the Grecian games would sit to observe the games and make sure everyone competed according to the rules. After the contest, the winners were led to the Bema and crowned with a laurel wreath. And so this is what Paul is talking about when he says that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, notice they received a laurel wreath, a laurel wreath. Those ladies out there, for Mother's Day, when you get flowers, one of the things that you realize about the flowers that if you get roses, man, they look so good, right? And then you put them in water and they look good and they last, you know, for a little while. But what eventually happens? That the petals start to wilt and fall off, and then the roses lose their luster. And Paul said here, well, he said in 1 Corinthians 9, that we compete for a prize that perishes, that laurel wreath. That laurel wreath would not stay fresh and green all the time. It would eventually fade away. It would eventually perish. And so these guys came to the judgment seat, and they received a wreath that what? Paul said that perishes, that wilts away. But he went on to say in 1 Corinthians 9, but you shall receive an imperishable, that the crown, the reward that you receive is imperishable. So keep that in mind, that when these individuals stood before the Bema seat here, that they received a perishable reward. But praise God, when we stand before Christ at the judgment seat, we are going to receive an imperishable reward. All right. So keep in mind that the concept that Paul's talking about, as a matter of fact, when Paul uses the word judgment seat, he uses the Greek word bema, which means the elevated platform where the winners would come and receive a reward. Now, let's look at some incorrect views as far as the bema seat, because there's people who have misunderstandings about what the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ is. Somebody will say it's a time to determine your salvation, that when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it's at that point that you are going to know whether you are saved or not. And this might fit into the view of those individuals that say, in the end, I hope my good works outweigh my bad works. And that when I stand before Christ, that if my good works outweigh my bad works, then I'm going to be saved. But no, this judgment seat of Christ is not a time to determine your salvation. When you stand here, to even get here, you have to be saved. You have to be saved. So you can't get here unless you're saved. So it's not a time to determine your salvation. Some people say, well, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it's a time of punishment for sin, that Jesus will punish you for your sins. And I have, let me go to my my chart now and show you something. And so the bema seat is a time when we will stand before Christ and we will give an account of our stewardship and our service in the kingdom of God. We won't give an account, going back here, we won't give an account for sin, but we will give an account for our stewardship and our service. Now, this is a little chart that I put together, right? This is gonna help you, all right? This is gonna help you. And I'm gonna break it down, I'm gonna explain it to you, and this is gonna help you. This will help you. So we see on the left-hand column, we have the time, position, judgment, place, judge, and the focus. At the cross, the top, we have three time periods: the past, the present, and the future. So let's go down the past. The past, our position is what? A sinner. We were all sinners. That was our position. Right? What is our position now? You're a son, you're a daughter. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. All right? So right now, you are a child of God. In the future, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, what will you be? You'll be a steward. And that means you're what? You'll give an account. What do stewards do? Moreover, 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required of a steward that a man or woman be found faithful, that God has entrusted you with time, talent, and treasure. And that one day, well, let me see here. Okay. All right. Let me go down. See, I get excited, right? I'm excited. So what is the judgment? In the past, your sins were judged. So you don't have to be judged for your sin. Okay, all right now. A time of punishment for sins. Your sins have already been punished through Christ. Your sins have already been judged through Christ. So when you stand at the bema seat, you're not going to be judged for your sin. Your sins have already been judged. Where were your sins judged at, right? Where? At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was there he died, for me he died, at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. My sins, not in part. What did the songwriter say? It is well with my soul. My sin, not in part. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. So your sins have been judged at Calvary, right? In the present, what's being judged? Your life. Every day, you should judge your life. Every day, you should get up and say, Lord, I want to do better today. Every day, you should get up and say, Lord, is there any sin in my life that I need to deal with? Every day that you get up, you should look to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I live a more righteous life? Every day, you are the judge. You are the judge of your life. At Calvary, the Father was the judge. He judged your sins he put them on Christ, and he judged your sins. But every day in the present, you should look at your life and ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything I can do through the power of the Holy Spirit to do better? That's why Paul said, examine yourself. Every day, there should be a self-examination. Why? Because you are the judge. All right. So now we move to the future. Our position will be a what? Steward. Now notice, in the past, our sins were judged. In the present, our life is judged. Oh, but in the future, at the judgment seat of Christ, our service will be judged. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the bema seat, when God judges your service. The place, as I said already, where were your sins judged? At Calvary, right? Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Your sins were judged at Calvary. In the present, where do you judge your life at? In your prayer closet. That's why Jesus said, go to your closet. Now, I don't think that Jesus literally meant go to a closet. He was using this as a metaphor for the place that you pray. So you ought to go to your place of prayer and judge your life every day. You know, if you don't judge your life, nobody else is going to do it. Not like God wants you to do it. Now, they might judge your life. They might say, well, how come he still smokes cigarettes? Well, how come he listens to that kind of music? Or how come he is wearing that kind of outfit? You know, so other people might judge you that way, right? But they're not going to judge your life the way that you judge it. That, you know, you need to come and you in your prayer closet, and you need to open your soul before the Lord. And be raw with God and say, Lord, have I been hypocritical? Lord, have I been judgmental? Lord, do I have bitterness in my heart? Do I have anger in my heart? Do I have unforgiveness in my heart? That every day you need to come to the prayer closet and you need to judge your life. Because in the future, when we stand before Christ at the judgment seat, he's not going to, now it might, the way we live our life might affect our service, but he's not necessarily going to be judging your life. Christ is going to be judging your service. And where is he going to do that? He's going to do it at the judgment seat of Christ, which is what we're talking about. Who's the judge? Well, in the past, the Father was a judge. When he put our sins on Christ, he was the judge. In the present, who's the judge? You are. In the Holy Spirit, that you judge your life. You and the Holy Spirit at the judgment seat of Christ, Who's going to be the judge? Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. He's going to be the judge, right? And so what is the focus? In the past, it was on belief. That you might have had your own belief about how you were saved. You know, maybe you thought that if I do good works, I'm saved. Maybe you thought that if I buy Girl Scout cookies, I'll be saved. Or if I help little old men across the street, I'll be saved. So in the past, the focus was on belief. So you had to change your belief. And you had to change your belief and do what? And come to the realization that Jesus Christ died for your sins. So you had to come to that belief. In the present, what is the focus on? It's on your being. You becoming a better Christian. You becoming a better person. And then in the future, what is it going to be on? It's going to be on your behavior. Your behavior. All right. So I like this chart because it helps us to understand this whole idea of our sins, you know, our position, the judgments. If we understand this, we have a good understanding on the threefold judgment of the believer. So I would put that one somewhere. I would take, because it's in your notes, so I would maybe look at it and bring it out again from time to time and just focus on that and look at it and see what how that ministers to your spirit. All right. Who is the judge at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, as we've already said, it's none other than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is the judge at the Bema seat. John 5:26-27. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given it to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Acts 10:42. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. And he was commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick or the living and the dead. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So who is the judge at the judgment seat of Christ? None other than Jesus Christ himself. The junction, the junction is where it's going to happen, right? Where is this going to take place? You know, it reminds me of a song. Some of y'all might remember this song. It was by Shorty Long. There's going to be a function at the junction. Woo, that sounds like a good sermon, don't it? The believer's rewards, right? The believer's rewards. There's going to be a function at the junction. You know, if you remember that song, you know, he had somebody come and bring in barbecue. He had somebody from China come and bring in a Chinese dish. He had people coming from all over the world bringing their special food, right? A function at the junction.
Thank you for joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Judgment Seat, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 1, you can contact us at AnchoredInJesus.org and request The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 1. That's AnchoredInJesus.org and request The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 1, from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible Prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, InkurtInJesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit InkurtInJesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at InkurtInJesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, InkurtInJesus.org, or send it to InkurtInJesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is InkurtInJesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to InkurtInJesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, InkurtInJesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteers, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.